Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 64. You can tell a lot about someone based on the car they drive or the car that they want to drive. So, two questions for you guys. What are you currently driving? And then what is your dream car? What are you currently driving? And then what is your dream car?
Can my answer be, I don't know.
You don't know what you're
either?
Currently driving?
You don't know what
I don't know either.
He just gets in a car and goes.
Look, I'm not a car guy. I know what I'm driving. I drive a Ford Escape from 1998. 2003.
Close.
And,
that's a close
years. Well, I drove a Honda Accord, a 98 Accord before that. So I drive a Ford Escape, and my dream car is, I don't know, another Honda Accord. I don't care.
just a newer Honda.
I want just one of the same thing, just less busted.
My Honda was great, and I would just like a updated version of that. I don't care.
Yeah. My little Honda don't want none.
I wouldn't do that.
Kenny, the car that you currently drive?
I drive a Kia Sportage.
Sportage?
Little small SUV kind of thing. Yeah.
He sold his green truck.
I know, and... Like, it's unfair to say that's my dream car, but I do miss my old beater truck that I drove for ages and ages.
I forgot about that thing.
It didn't have AC.
It was the smallest truck ever.
Yeah, it was really little. It was a 92 Ford Ranger, one of those ones that has just, like, the front cab, and was absolutely a busted piece of vehicle. But I got so attached to it, just nostalgia.
Dream car?
I would like a decent pickup. Not a little like busted Ranger, but something nice and manly and
really
preferably that has a preferably that's standard. I miss driving stick.
I never would have guessed that about you, Kenny. You're so manly.
Kenny's a country boy.
I kind of am for being a little bit of a nerd and definitely a little bit of a hipster and
little
kind of
bit,
just generally
dude.
Annoying.
Kenny,
I'm also a
generally
bit
annoying. Little bit of a nerd?
Yeah,
mostly
a bit.
Generally annoying, though.
Yeah.
Okay, a little bit.
I nailed it. It summed me up well.
2003 Toyota Camry is what I currently drive.
Oh, I'm 03 boys?
03. You said 97, 03, something like that. I'm with you, though, Nolan. Not a huge car guy. I just want a nice car that's kind of reasonable, which is silly. Maybe some kind of Range Rover or really nice luxury Lexus. I don't know. I've never been a big sports car kind of guy, so like I don't need anything like swift and crazy, and I don't want like a one or two passenger car. I want to be able to fit.
Yeah, and I just want it to go at a moderate speed.
I'm
not Sonic.
I want good like gas mileage too.
I'm waiting for this segue, and I don't know when it's gonna come, and I'm confused.
I don't even know what you're talking about segue. I'm just saying that if I did want a sports car, it would be a Lamborghini, and I'd want it red. Do you know why?
No.
So that I could call my red Lambo Rambo.
No, that's good. So
red Lambo.
That was the worst thing.
Red Lambo.
No, we see.
Look, red Lambo Rambo.
All episode, can we refer to the game we played as Lamborghini? Now? In honor of your terrible joke?
Yeah, let's talk about the NES game, Lamborghini.
Overview.
It's not about cars or rainbows or anything like that. It's as the title implies, Rambo's about the movie First Blood Part 2. Rambo First Blood Part 2. And this is an NES game. Came out in 88 in the United States and 1987 in Japan. They always get it first. It was produced by a company called Pac-N Video. Pac-N-Video. Published by Acclaim. It's a more well-known distributor at the time. And so, like many NES titles around the time, you sort of just get thrown into this game without much explanation. If I haven't mentioned yet, it's kind of a platformer. It's a side-scrolling game. And there's dialogue platforming while following the plot, I'm assuming, of Rambo. And I've never seen this movie.
So you didn't watch any of the Rambos, Nolan?
No.
No, neither did I. Kenny?
It's not that I wasn't allowed. I never tried to watch it. Because
yeah, no, I didn't either. I just wasn't interested.
Part of it is they were kind of before your time.
True, but like I've watched many movies before my time.
Like I don't have that many years on you guys, but I'm definitely way more a child of the 80s. It was absolutely like 80s era cinema. Now, I will say I only ever watched the first one. So like this one following the plot of the second one, I had no idea what the story was going to do because I'd never seen Rambo First Blood Part 2.
I mean, everyone in the 80s, they loved Rambo, right? Like that was
it's a great
thing.
Movie.
Well, I didn't say that, but everyone in the 80s
Wait,
loved Rambo,
right?
Is
a great movie, Kenny?
Yeah, I liked the first one a lot. Like for just a generic action flick, it really is kind of hard to beat.
Okay, so I'm learning a lot about Kenny. He's like a man's man now. He wants a truck. He likes Rambo First Blood. That's his favorite movie.
No, that's not anywhere close to my favorite movie.
It just doesn't... Look, I like action movies, kind of. I like James Bond, but not... I don't look at the poster of this movie and I'm like, yeah, shirtless Sylvester Stallone shooting something. I don't want to watch this movie.
Well, that's my primary question. I've never seen a single Rambo film, so I've got to ask, is he topless throughout the entire movie? Like, is that
pretty
like the entire
he
movie,
it.
No shirt?
Again, I didn't ever see the second one, so I don't know. But in the first movie, most of the time he's running around shirtless, yeah.
What happens in the narrative that he loses a shirt all the time?
It just starts where he doesn't have one. He's just like,
no, I don't remember. He starts in prison in the first one and gets like tortured with water. They're cleaning him up. I don't even know. It's been so long.
Wait, he starts in prison in the second one.
Maybe I'm conflating the two in my head. I don't know. The first one, like he has to break out of like an American prison. And so he ends up having to, like, kill cops and stuff. And so it's shady.
That's the first one.
Either way, the game, I think, follows that movie and...
Second one.
Or the second...
It's supposed
to. The plot of the second movie, and Kenny will have to confirm since he's such a fan. But you play Sylvester Stallone that they hilariously tried to mimic in the artwork of this game.
Yeah.
That little icon face that's supposed to be him cracked me up.
With the mouth...
The mouth is what gets me. That's a really fun part of the game.
He's like, I'll be back, you know?
That's the wrong actor, but it's close.
Oh my gosh, it is. I thought it was the same one for a second. That shows how much I know about this stupid genre. You shoot and kill wild animals and people in Vietnam. Kind of racy, but that's our game, so let's go.
Gameplay.
All right, so the game starts with dialogue, and then you... It's like it sets it up as though this is going to be an RPG. You can kind of pick your conversation piece or you can pick your answer to the question. And so,
but you really can't.
The military guy comes to you and he's like, will you accept the mission? And then you've got an option. Either I'm not afraid of death, so that's accepting the mission. Or you've got I feel better in prison. And then I've got the image pulled up. I actually took a screenshot because I thought it was so funny. Once you do that, it says, sorry, we cannot start this game until you accept this mission.
Sounds a lot like Fallout 4. Oh, but I think that's really funny that they did that. Like, even give you options. There's a couple options in the game, and they're all great.
Well,
I'm glad you brought
options.
Right.
As soon as you choose the other joke option, then you have to choose the real option. But
yeah, so
it's
actually kind of annoying when you think about it. Like,
but
it
was
funny.
Fun to have that additional content. Like when he meets the girl for the first time, instead of talking about the mission, you can say, what do you think about me? Or something like that.
I'm glad you bring up the dialogue. I actually took note of several of my favorite conversations, if you guys want to hear some.
All right.
Please share. So you already mentioned you can't start the game until you say yes. Later when you meet up with the girl and then I feel stupid calling her the girl. I don't know her name, but
Co.
Isn't it Co, just Co? Yeah.
Okay, I thought that was short for something, but you meet up with
I think it is.
And you go to the boat. She's like, I wrote this word for word. We want to get on the boat. Here's money. And then the guy says, okay. Another good conversation is this guy says, a kid is missing in a cave to the north. Please find him. Rambo, dot, dot, dot. Co, Rambo, please save the kid. That's it. Next one is Rambo says, I'll go ahead by myself. Co says, I see, dot, dot, dot. That's the end of the conversation. The next one says, a man in trouble says, please rescue me. Rambo says, all right, or sorry, my duty is to just take photos. You can't pick that one, obviously. And then at the end of the game, the commander asks, what are you going to do? And Rambo says, day by day.
So, yeah, I remember that, that one. Was,
that one was pretty jarring. Yeah, the whole end dialogue, if I recall, was really, really terrible.
I mean, most of the dialogue is pretty terrible. It's just really funny the way they wrote it.
Here's the deal. I know we're like knocking dialogue and the like faux dialogue options, and the fact that you have to like run around and talk to people. But I actually thought that their attempt at sort of making this game feel more immersive and feel like a story was something I actually appreciated.
I'm with you 100%. I was pleasantly surprised with the amount of narrative in this platforming game. You usually don't get a lot of that, and in this game I was surprised by a few things. So I agree with you. I was surprised with the story elements. I was lost because I've never seen the movie, don't know much about the character. I was like, you know, how did he get his shirt off and whatnot? And then, so that what was interesting, although I was lost. And then the music right away, I don't know if either of you guys enjoyed it like I did, at least to some degree. But when I got to the start screen and felt like I was listening to Mega Man 2. Like, that's what it was reminiscent to me of at the start.
That's I wouldn't go that far. But I was going to point that out. I thought the music was a big surprise. I did not think it would be good at all. And it was actually pretty catchy.
See, I found it a little repetitive.
Repetitive.
It didn't... Maybe it was just mood I was in. Like, I was digging parts of the game, but the music itself didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. I mean, it gets repetitive.
And I, you know, I came across a number of people online who were like, you love the music in this game, whatever. And so I very well might be the outlier in this case, but I did not enjoy the music.
But you did enjoy the story, right? Or at least that there was a narrative element.
Yeah, I enjoyed that there was like attempts at narrative. They could have done it better. Obviously, they're kind of limited because I think they tried to mimic what happened in the movie very well. And so,
you know, I appreciate that rather than going completely off script, because you've got some of these video games that are these, you know, are supposed to be movie clones, but then they're nothing like the movie whatsoever.
Right.
Well, I think they could have benefited by not doing it so close to the script in this time.
I
don't know. I don't know the movie well enough to like compare the two like I could with Toy Story or something, but I didn't care that there was text in the game. Like, I don't even appreciate the fact that it was there, because, I mean, other games do that. Is that the fact that it's there is not impressive. It's just like it needed to add something for me. And other than like laughing at how rough the Japanese translation was, it wasn't that great for me.
You start off by fighting animals for a few stages. You mentioned that, Nolan, but like snakes come at you, birds come at you, spiders come at you. I mean, one of your first quote unquote bosses is this giant spider. So that's kind of really silly, because that's not movie related. And, you know, Rambo, they're just trying to give you a task, trying to give you something to do, which is just ridiculous. But from what I also have gathered, what it ended up being really was just a complete clone of Zelda 2.
Yeah, I was reading that too. And if you don't
know,
which
is notoriously the worst Zelda game in the entire franchise, right?
Right, and one of the, like, people will say it's actually one of the worst games ever, which I think is an exaggeration. But
I'm sure that's just because it's a Zelda title and not as up to snuff as all the others.
It's supposed to be super quality.
It's just not it's not fun. It's really, really rough.
But if you watch the gameplay of Zelda 2, and then you watch the gameplay of this Rambo game, you'll see that the movement, the knife throwing, the experience numbers that pop up after you kill enemies, and even like the dark caves, the map layout, the lantern that's required to actually see in the caves, all of those things were just completely stripped from Zelda 2. Which was not, you know, which is not looked at as a good game. So then let's just implement it into a Rambo game.
Yeah,
just...
I don't know what their thought process was when they did that.
Right. Well, Zelda probably, it probably wasn't the worst game at when it first time, came out. Yeah. True. You know?
Yeah.
But one of the things that I was bummed out about, because the only thing that I really know about Rambo is like that iconic machine gun that he just shoots while his muscles like shake and his tanned and toned body with is glistening, and
wow,
he just takes out, well, I like it like Kenny does, just takes out all the enemies there. That you don't get the machine gun until late into the game, and then even when you get it, it's kind of just weak and ineffective and a bummer.
Yeah.
It definitely didn't feel, I don't know, like the mostly wielding a knife feels kind of Rambo to me. Like, he does lots of that sort of go out and just survive with nothing and fight people that have superior weaponry, but it doesn't make for good gameplay to do that. Especially when the controls don't, like, function very intuitively. I guess intuitively isn't the word. They just, like, the timing's weird. It's not that it's, like, not clear what you're doing, but they tried to jam so much into that little NES controller by the time you're navigating between weapons, and then, like, jumping, and even figuring out how to interact with things was a little awkward at first. Because you don't use A or B... You don't use down, it's that up button. And up, I don't know, yeah. Just getting to know the game was a little awkward, but then some of that awkwardness stayed through because it was actually just weird controls, not you know, not anything else. I do love, though, that you can get new weapons, that you can upgrade like the level of your starting
it's
weapon.
Huge.
That's super cool. Like, I love that element in games. Like,
based on the experience.
Absolutely. I think this is one of those games that for me had lots of really good ideas, like tried to do the story really well, but then you just wandered around talking to people awkwardly and not like feeling like the decisions mattered, giving you some weapon choices, but then not really making that like either essential or like rewarding enough. You know, giving you some things like health and some different types of enemies and different things to dodge in different environments, but I don't know. It's like they had some great ideas and then didn't deliver on any of those ideas well.
Now, I agree with a lot of that. That there were things in here that were compelling, that were interesting, and then the way that they actually did it was confusing. The map, you know, it's so easy to get lost. How do you know where to go? Sometimes you need to go
the worst.
Left. Sometimes you need to go right. Do you understand, right? That sometimes if you continue going one direction, the stage just repeats over and over
again. I did
that
a couple of times till I figured out how the game works, like how it functioned.
Until you move the opposite direction and then it takes you to a new stage. So that's frustrating.
And an annoyingly opposite direction. Like, it had you going backwards on the screen. After, like,
right.
Video games in general are, like, reading. We have been trained you go left to right, and that most of the time you can't even go back. It was really weird how the areas interacted and how it sometimes looped and sometimes didn't. And you could get to a person who wouldn't let you continue unless you'd gone and talked to another person, which is fine, but still had you running around feeling like you weren't making any progress. I don't know. It was pretty whack.
All right. Before we move to age, what did you guys think of the difficulty level? Was it a difficult game for you? Were you dying a lot, or pretty simplistic?
I was about to bring it up, actually. Kenny had mentioned using the knife a lot compared to what you would think you would use, the machine gun and grenades. And although those are there, you're using the knife a lot, and there are these flying creatures, as there are in platforming games, and it made the game incredibly frustrating when you have to deal with multiple enemies on the screen and all you can do is a short stab that goes like not far at all in front of you. You can crouch and you can jump and that's it.
Right.
And it's not like a fluid type of like jumping and slashing like some games can do. And I think that was something we liked about Ninja Gaiden, but it's not here in this NES game. So having to have limited like resources as far as movement options go made the game so hard for me. Like, so hard. I had to use save states like crazy.
I definitely use save states. I wouldn't have wanted to play this game without them. Once I adjusted to all those things, I felt like it became a little more doable. You still had to make some important choices about when to use your weapons and when not to. And it definitely took some adjusting to kind of figure out how to almost play into those bad mechanics. But once I did, I didn't feel like this was anywhere close to the hardest game we've played. It wasn't easy. But it didn't feel like fully impossible to me, at least until you get to that last boss, which I think we probably ought to talk about a little too before we talk about age, because that's the most unique, different thing in this game, and holy cow.
Sure, if you get to the last boss, I mean, that's something worth congratulating you over. With save states, I obviously eventually got there, but I mean, it's impossible unless, like, especially because if you die there, like, what, like, you're going to have to, you know, start back, try it again. Like, that's you're not going to get a lot of practice there unless you just have the code or the password to get back there and try him and work. Like, it's going to take
you... Yeah, it's one of those games playing without save states originally. Yeah, you would have had to have played the game tons and tons of times to learn it. And even then have a good run.
Which is frustrating, because if you play the game tons and tons of times and get to the last boss tons and tons of times and lose every time at the last boss, that's just a huge waste of time.
It is. Yeah. It's also sort of how video games in that era worked, though. So I don't mind it that much. Like, that's not my biggest beef with this game.
Well, I mean, do address, so it's a helicopter that's over you dropping missiles that you have to dodge the missiles every, you
also,
know, 10 seconds, guys drop down.
Screen,
yeah, soldiers that you have to take out. But they give you grenades again that you are using to take out
to use, yeah.
the helicopter. There's no indication of how much damage you've applied or how much life the enemy has left. And so
and it's
you're
not
just
a short fight.
For,
it's a little
no,
bit of
a
slugfest. You got to really be dodging and staying alive for an extended period of
yeah,
time.
Staying alive? Yeah. Maybe like 20, 25 grenades, something silly. And it just takes a long time. But that's kind of like an indication of the rest of the game. Like, I feel like there's good mechanics. I feel like there's... hold on. I feel like the idea behind a lot of this is solid.
Yeah, I agree.
And just a lot of the execution is rough.
Aged.
So, guys, how do you think this game aged then, ultimately?
I'll give both sides of the equation, because I think there are things that aged well, that stand the test of time. I've already mentioned music, but I do think that although it got repetitive, I think that it was quality music, was not expecting that. Here's the thing. Look, I was going into this game thinking it was going to be the worst. Like, I was thinking that it was going to be another Jurassic Park.
That always helps, at least.
Yeah, and so
literally coming in with really, really low expectations,
yeah,
will make a game actually better than it is.
Right, and that started for me even on the start screen when I started hearing that music. I was like, okay, there's something here. The story, once again, from what I gather, it closely aligns to the movie, maybe even at a fault, but at least there's some context, some story there. Even the graphics, I was pleasantly surprised with the graphics. Here, look, we're playing. Remember the age of this game, and then think
87.
Of GTA from last week. These graphics are far better than Grand Theft Auto, and this game was so before Grand Theft Auto. And I know totally different games, but still just different. I think the graphics here were good for a side-scrolling platformer. Now, let me just move over bad elements. I think the controls are rough. It's near impossible to attack an enemy without getting hit, especially with your knife. The hitboxes are weird. The enemies are fast. And then I think that it's just an unbelievably punishing game for a side-scrolling platformer. Like, were you guys ever trying to cross a bridge and then you get hit and you drop below? You cannot get back up,
nope.
So you have to travel far around the map to get back up there?
Yeah.
There are some really frustrating elements, for sure.
So those were some issues.
For me, I kind of... Going back to the fact that this is based off of a movie, so there's a handful of games that come to mind when you think of that. Lion King being a great success... Toy Story, kind of in between. I liked it. and Home Alone, obviously, we know how that went. But those are just some that we've played. There are many games based on movies. And I'm never really a fan of the idea. And this is one of those cases where it just shouldn't have been made. I suppose they were just trying to make money, and the movie was popular, so they tried to capitalize on video game idiots, you know, who don't know any better. And obviously, that's not, you can't just make a game like this and expect it to deliver and sell well. I actually don't know how well it did sell, so maybe if you guys know that, let me know. But it just wasn't fun, and as Dustin mentioned, he mentioned all the problems I have with it, although I don't have any strengths with it. I don't think anything worked well. The music, I can get that elsewhere. That's the only thing that they accidentally got right. And even at that point, it's repetitive, as Kenny said. So, like, yeah, it shouldn't have been made. So, obviously, I think it aged poorly. But I also think at the time, it didn't have a chance of aging a week when it came out.
See, when we talk about, like, how a game aged, some of it for me is just, like, can you pick it up and play it and get into it and enjoy yourself? Even some things like difficulty and some of those kind of things that may not make me actually prefer the game don't necessarily have to impact that. And I'm no Nolan. Like, sometimes it can be risky to make a game based on a movie, and how you handle it can set you up to do things very poorly. I'll agree with that. But I don't even mind them, like, making something off of known content. I think it's a fun, can be a fun way to, like, re-interact with something that you found enjoyable. And there were lots of things that I thought this game did okay for the era it came out, and being an NES title, I'm with you, Dustin. The screen comes up, you get that helicopter, there's noise, you jump in. It's, you know, it's pretty easy, even though they're, like, poorly done controls, to mess with the controls, and, like, it's playable, and they tried to tell a story, and I don't know, I didn't have nearly as much problem with how this game aged as I had with other problems with the game itself.
Well, we have opinions that are all over the board, it seems like. Kenny and I probably agree more so. Like, I thought the game was fun, and I had fun playing the game, which is interesting and completely contrary to what Nolan's take on this game ended up being. And I feel like, Kenny, you're somewhere in the middle. But I think our ultimate decision will come down to whether or not we give this game our vote for New Game Plus status.
The final shell shock.
Let's start with Nolan, just because he's been pretty clear as to where he stands.
You might be surprised, Kenny.
Yeah, right.
I won't be.
So, I don't give it my New Game Plus. Doesn't need to be played. Shouldn't be played. We shouldn't have played it.
Wow.
Hey, this is very interesting. I don't know where I land. I really haven't made my decision yet, but I disagree with your vehement disregard for this game. I think it deserves even more credit than that.
I will say for sure it's unfair of him to say that we shouldn't play it, because part of our discovery here is finding games that aren't even worth playing or that are bad.
In retrospect, like, I can say that.
It's more than 15 years old, and we play old video games, so sometimes we get lemons. You gotta be okay with it.
Kenny, you or me?
You go next.
Okay. I am conflicted because, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought this game was going to be trash. Ended up liking a lot of the elements of it, though I feel like it started going downhill fairly quickly, and as I couldn't make Rambo do what I wanted him to do. So while it started out fun, and while I enjoy and appreciate some of the elements, the fun didn't last completely. That being said, I think that it is a decent platformer. I think that there are a lot of elements of it that they did well. I don't think that they followed completely through with the execution. Therefore, my final assessment is in agreement with Nolan, although I disagree with a lot of the opinions that he had on that. And I feel like this game is not one that everyone should play. Therefore, I do not give Ramborghini my vote for New Game Plus status.
Ramborghini. You got to at least make it sound right.
Before Kenny goes, I just want to point out, although we had different takes on it and you gave it some credit, we still came to the same realization that it was not worth it.
Actually, well, it's no, two did. Out of three, so the fact that I ultimately agree with you guys as well doesn't actually hold any weight. Doesn't get New Game Plus from me either. There were some fun moments. I love the faces and the graphics. Some of the unique stuff they did with bosses was kind of interesting. I always like when you can level stuff up and earn weapons and make those kinds of choices, and I definitely think it's a better game than it sometimes gets credit for. And I definitely agree with Dustin that it's not as terrible as, Nolan, you make it out to be. But we're looking for gems here for the most part and things that we think people will pick up and really be worth going back and playing even today. And it just wasn't quite up to snuff for me.
But you're a Rambo fanboy, so you're just biased.
I will say in conclusion that if you're a Rambo fan, then hop in this Lamborghini and enjoy it.
And then crash it into a tree.
We received some commentary and thoughts on this game this week from a few of our lawyers.
Lawyers.
We have retainers that are in place.
A few of our loyal viewers. Loyal viewers. The first one from Carlo. He said, I exchanged Excitebike and $5 back in 1992 for this game.
Why? $5?
Yeah, it was a bad decision. But it was not so bad if compared to all the other bad games that are on the NES. The gameplay was similar to Zelda 2 action mode, and it was more cryptic than Voynich Manuscript, particularly for a 12-year-old kid that only has some very approximate skills in English. But still, I remember having fun playing this game. I was Rambo, the epitome of the manly man of the early 90s, with a ton of muscle, testosterone, and extended dialogues. Yes, he ran a bit weird, and he was striking his knife from his from a weird position, but nevertheless,
over the head thing.
Yeah, instead of that, but nevertheless, I still enjoyed this game and do give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
It doesn't matter, Carlo.
Carlo, thank you, and I agree with you. If you enjoy Rambo, to be Rambo in this video game, I think it would have had a lot of charm with that.
Yeah, there is always that nostalgia factor too. Like if he played it as a kid, like you're automatically gonna have a little bit more perks in terms of how you view a game than just going in blind.
Yeah, I'm not like I can't disagree with that. I mean, if you enjoyed the game, then obviously it means a lot to you. Also, if you did like the movie back then, of course you wanted to play this as a kid because, like, I mean, it's awesome.
Like to be Rambo at any chance, you know? Like
that's cool.
Even if it's not the best.
I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but like. Late 80s, Rambo, if you're wanting to be Rambo, you rip off your shirt and go run around in the backyard and hit stuff with sticks.
Oh, I agree.
Like, video games were great, too, but, like, it wasn't like you had to express yourself that way.
Thank you for sending in your thoughts, Carlos. Yeah, Zion also emailed us at ngppodcast@gmail.com, and he said, I went into this game hoping, but not expecting much, and I got just what I deserved. The game was hard to play, and I jumped a lot. Used the knife sometimes, but mostly just jumped. The play was tough, and I did not like it. I hope next week we can get something better, so I'm crossing my fingers and leaving it up to the randomizer. P.S. Almost finished the new Final Fantasy 15, and it's mind-blowing.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, because those games are not short, and that game's still new.
He's totally right, though. Sometimes this is one of those platformers that sometimes it was easier to just avoid enemies than to actually fight them, and I don't always like that. I mean, it's good that it's an option.
Talking about Final Fantasy. We're past Rambo.
Kenny, I think there's a good mixture in this game, though. Honestly, I really do. Like, there's enough to jump over, and then there's enough that you need to fight and not take
the
damage.
The later on you get and the tougher the enemies get, the more you're, like, required to deal with them. And so I liked that progression. Yeah.
Thank you both, though, for sending in your thoughts this week. Really appreciate that. If you want to have your commentary, your thoughts on any particular game that we play in a week featured on our episodes, then just follow along on social media, see what game we're playing that week, or just get caught up with the episodes so that you can know what game we're playing, and then play that game with us. Send in your thoughts, usually by late Friday night, early Saturday morning, and hopefully we'll be able to include that as a part of our podcast. But for now, we're going to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. We've got a retro master list that you guys have so liberally suggested games for, and we've compiled those together, and out of those games we will select one of them to be played next.
I've got to say, as great and as diverse and as fairly expansive as that Retromaster list is, it is by no means all-inclusive. There are tons and tons and tons of old games, probably some of your favorites, or the ones that you struggled with the most that you would like to see us play, and we can't know about it unless you let us know. So send us an email, hit us up on Twitter, whatever you want to do to make sure we know about some games that are worth playing.
And the next game is... Interesting. We're moving to a console called the Nintendo 64.
Finally.
And we are going to be playing a game that originally came out in Japan as Baku Bomberman. This game is Bomberman 64.
Interesting.
Yes.
I don't know that I've ever heard of it.
Guys.
But I love an excuse to pull the 64 out.
You've never heard of it?
No.
Okay.
You're allowed to
heard of it.
I love
That's fair.
Bomberman.
I've never played it.
And I love Bomberman 64. It's such a good game. I'm so excited.
Well, we will see if we all agree on that or disagree next week. And so make sure to play along with us. You can follow us on social media on Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can always listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider. If you subscribe on any of those platforms, then you'll be able to get the episode as soon as it is released. And then, as always, you can visit us on patreon.com/NGP podcast so you can get some behind-the-scenes views on some of the things that we do, as well as get some bonus content if you are willing to take one step further and support us as a podcast.
Gotta say big thanks to all our patrons, but especially to Bradley and Zion. Thanks for being our producer-level patrons and helping to make this podcast a reality. We are right in the middle, literally, of trying some brand new things here at NGP Podcast and are excited about it and couldn't do some of those things without the support of so many of you. So thanks, guys.
Yes, thanks so much.
As we're nearing the conclusion of 2016, as Kenny just mentioned, we've got some things planned for the conclusion as well as for the start of 2017. We've got some dreams in the work for the new year and what we're going to try to include and accomplish. And I just promise you that we are working weekly, if not daily, to improve the quality of our podcast and the content that we're able to provide to you guys for your ears and your eyes and other senses on a weekly basis. Join us next week as we play Bomberman 64. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this has been a Ramborghini production of New Game Plus.
Wow.